Parshat Nitzavim is read normally before Rosh Hashanah. What is in this parsha? Tis the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and he wants to let the entire nation know something very important. Moshe continued to speak to the assembly of all the Jewish people that had gathered there. And he said, I know that you're frightened after hearing 98 curses that were said in last week's Parsha, Parsha Ki Tavo. The Jewish people had heard the curses. They were frightened. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, nevertheless, you are still standing today. And actually what Moshe was doing is he was telling the people, giving them the encouragement. God is great. God knows what we are doing. God rewards and he gives punishment. When we get punished, we have to know that God Almighty is doing it out of love. Just like a father will punish his son, punishes in inverted commas. It means that he just wants his son to go along the right way so he'll lead him the right path. 98 curses were said in last week's parasha. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're still standing here today, i.e., you still have the ability to continue. God still wants you to continue, and he's not doing it, God forbid, out of hate. He's doing it in order to guide you in the right direction. He gathers the people and he says to them, you are all entering into a special covenant in which you're going to be binded with an oath. You, your leaders, Yehoshua, Joshua, Elazar, the Nesiim of the tribes, the elders of the Sanhedrin, the judges over thousands, over the hundreds, over the fifties, and over the tens, there were certain judges. Each category, each amount of people had different judges. There were judges over 10 people, over 50 people, etc. All your men, your wives, and your children, those that have converted to Judaism, and the woodchoppers to the drawers of the water. Moshe was referring to a group of Canaanites who asked to be accepted as converts. Moshe appointed them as communal wood choppers and water drawers. Everyone was present and there was to be no excuses. Similarly, we come to God Almighty. Nowadays, every Rosh Hashanah, men, women, children, everybody in society comes in front of God Almighty. Atem nitzavim hayom, you are standing in front of God Almighty. God is there from the beginning to the end. And every year we have a reckoning with God at Rosh Hashanah as the new year approaches. And this is the time of the Selichot. Why is it that God needed to make a new covenant with the Bnei Yisrael before they entered the land? Well, the utter isolation of their desert experience in which they were having the man as their food sustenance and God's cloud of glory and all the incredible miracles were providence for their survival may have coerced them to keep the Torah in the wilderness. So God considered a new covenant as absolutely necessary when they were ready to enter the land of Israel. It would be a land, obviously, of material and abundance and much less spiritual connection that they had. And therefore, this covenant was valid for them as they entered the land of Israel. Moshe tells the people that God wished them to accept the Torah with an oath before he ended his leadership. He says that God himself swore to our forefathers that he would never exchange the Jewish people for another. If he alone were bound by an oath and not the Jewish people, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the treaty would be unequal. And therefore, the Jewish people are now accepting upon themselves this oath. God will not forgive a person who desecrates the covenant. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells that the divine anger will be rekindled if we do not go according to God's Torah. Moshe then speaks about the future when Jews would worship idols, and he says that this is the question that you would be asking in the future. Why is it that out of all the people in the land, the Jews suffer the most? And the idea is the suffering unfortunately comes because we are not keeping towards God's Torah. Were we to keep towards God's Torah, then we wouldn't have that stick that would be pushing us back to repent and to come towards God. As of today, God will hold all of you responsible, not only for the community sins, but even for the transgressions of individuals. And thereupon, the Jewish people replied, Moshe, we agree to be liable for our brothers' public sins, but not for their hidden sins. Hanistarot laHashem, the hidden sins, that's for God Almighty. Whatever we can do in society to help others when we notice it, we will try and bring everybody back to God Almighty. And they accepted the covenant. Now, the beautiful upside is that we know that God's reward is always proportionally greater than his punishment. When it comes to the punishment, it says God remembers for the third generation and the fourth generation, and will punish accordingly. But when it comes to the reward, he'll give it for 2,000 generations. And we say that the reward is 500 times the punishment. So he declared that the entire Jewish community suffers because of an individual's sin. Then how much more so does the entire community benefit from an individual's merits? And that's what we say, as we say, Tzaddik Yisod Olam. The whole world is maintained for the sake of a tzaddik's merit. That means any one of us could be a righteous person and we don't even realize it, but the effect that we're having on the entire society is massive. In fact, in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, it says that there are 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and then there's 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. And people were sinning in those 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, and came along Abraham, and he took the merit of all those that had been sinning. Abraham basically was a savior of the entire world. There was one guy who was committed to God Almighty, and that is why he is the beginning of Judaism, because he believed in God at a time when everybody was sinning and going haywire. But because of him, God enabled the world to continue. The entire world. There was thousands, millions of people. But Abraham was the Tzaddik Yisod Olam. And in our generation, every generation, we also have great righteous men and women that are the foundations of the blessings that are occurring in our world. Moshe then promises that if the Jewish people do teshuva in exile, Hashem will redeem us. Moshe said, when the Torah's curses are realized in the future in generations that will have sunk low, take Hashem's word to heart, return to him in the midst of your dispersion and exile, and listen to his voice. And when the Jews heard this, they asked him, will Hashem accept our teshuvah? And Moshe said, in God's name, of course. I accepted Cain's teshuvah, shall I not accept yours? And similarly, I accepted King Menashe's teshuvah, shall I not accept yours? He was referring to King Menashe. Who was King Menashe? He was Chizkiyahu's son, and he ruled over the kingdom of Yehuda. He was so bad, he erected a four-faced idol inside the temple, inside the Beit HaMikdash, saying from whichever direction one enters, he can worship this idol. So this was a guy who wasn't, let's put it this way, he wasn't exactly a servant of God Almighty. And so at that moment, the Shekhinah departed, the God's presence departed from the Beit HaMikdash, and the heavenly fire which used to flicker above the altar vanished. The golden fruits from which Shlomo had decorated the Beit HaMikdash, and which miraculously flourish now with it, and the entire spirituality went away. And we're told that there was no atrocity that Menashe did not commit in order to eradicate God's name from the Jewish people consciousness. This was a man, an evil man at the time. So what's the story? Because of his sins, God delivered Menashe into the hands of the Assyrian generals. And after locking his hands and feet in iron, these iron chains, they placed him on a specially constructed iron mule, and they lit a fire under the mule, and basically he was suffering immensely. He called out to all his idols to help him, but obviously no help. And then he remembered his father, Chizkiyahu. He said, I remember when I was younger, my father Chizkiyahu taught me, when you're in a tough time and all things are coming upon a person, is going to be bad. I remember this pasuk that is in this week's parasha that says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you shall turn to Hashem, your God, and listen to his voice. So Menashe addressed God Almighty and he said, I now see that all the gods are false. Nobody's answered me. You're the master of the universe, but if you don't answer me, I'm going to proclaim that all gods are the same. So it wasn't exactly a big teshuvah. Now, in the heavens, the Almighty, God Almighty said, this Rasha, he doesn't deserve that I accept his prayer. But if I'm going to refuse him, future Baalei Teshuvah will be discouraged. People that want to repent are going to be discouraged. They're going to say, oh, Menashe wanted to do teshuvah and he wasn't accepted. And so God Almighty accepted his tefillah. He accepted his prayer, even though it wasn't sincere. And what's interesting is that even though it wasn't L'Shem Shamayim, eventually he made a miracle, God made a miracle, and Menashe was saved. And he came back to Yerushalayim, and he did a 360, he completely changed. And he started to bring back God's Shekhinah and to rebuild and to get rid of all the idols in the Temple Mount after this big experience. So Moshe is promising, if you're going to do teshuvah in exile and fulfill the Torah with all your heart and soul, God Almighty will return with your captivity. As it says, we know that God is in exile with us. Imo anochi b'tzarah. Wherever we are in the world, God is with us in our own exile. And so Moshe explains to the people the very important mitzvah of repentance. Repentance means to return. It's a bit of a difficult word to translate, but teshuvah really means to return. You see, our ultimate status is obviously very close to God Almighty. And sometimes we get deferred by all the physical things in this world, and we move from right to left, move to right, but eventually we know where we need to come back to. We need to come back to ourselves and to our connection to God. And so Moshe says the following: this Torah which I command you is not a hidden matter. And he admonishes the people, and he said, don't pretend that you can't understand it. Don't say, oh, it's very difficult to understand Torah, it's very difficult to do teshuvah, because Moshe says, I went up to Shamayim, I brought down the Ten Commandments, but I also have given you over 40 years the oral law. And the oral law is the explanation of the written Torah. And just like a person goes in the olden days to the market, they used to have the bread, let's say, hanging, or any meat that's hanging, and it's very high. A person says, well, it's very, very difficult for me to reach that. I can't reach it. Well, the store owner comes and says, not a problem, brings out a little ladder and goes up one by one. Similarly, when it comes to learning Torah, a person can go into a Beit HaMidrash, into yeshiva, and see, wow, these guys are learning. They're learning with Aramaic, and they know Gemara, and they know Torah, and they how do you get to know? Well, you need to first learn the ABC, the Aleph Bet, and then you need to learn the Chumash, and then the Mishnah, and then the Gemara, and then you start to learn the Mefarshim, and you might say, oh, forget it, this thing's not for me, I'm never going to get there. So the answer is, yes, you are, if you do it little by little, rung by rung, just like the ladder, then you can reach the stars. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people. On another note, he's also telling them that don't give any excuses. There was once a guy who met Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu Navi said, no, what's going on? He said, I'm okay, when I get to Shamayim, I'm just going to say, listen, nobody ever taught me Hebrew. They didn't have podcasts in those days. Nobody was out there listening to teach me anything. So I'm just going to go and I've got the best excuse. So Eliyahu Navi says, well, tell me, what do you do? He says, well, I capture animals and I sell the skins, etc. And now you're good at it? I'm the best at it. So I said, well, how did you learn that? Well, this guy taught me, and my father, and this person, and then I was interested, and so I did a bit of a training over here and a training over there. The same thing with us. There's no excuses to not learning Torah. We can say, oh, we never got taught Aleph Bet. Well, you've got so many apps out there. You've got so many rabbis, so many teachers. Go find, get involved. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo bashamayim hi, the Torah is not in the heavens, it's not at the end of the world, it's right here in front of you. Ki b'ficha v'valcha la'asoto. It's all you need to do is you need to open your heart and you need to speak, and then it is there for you. Another deeper explanation is, nowadays we don't have all the 613 mitzvot because we don't have a temple, but Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, when we won't have a temple, just learn the Torah, learn the laws that are to do with the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and it's as if you are partaking in that very special mitzvah. And a further explanation is that Lo Bashamayim, it's not found in the heaven. Once God Almighty gave the Torah to the Jewish people, we have the ability to actually fix laws. And hence, it is the Beit Din, the Sanhedrin, that comes and says, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the beginning of the year, and they actually are setting when Rosh Hashanah is, when Yom Kippur is, etc., via their connection to God Almighty. Moshe concludes by emphasizing that by keeping the Torah, a person will acquire eternal life.